Misfits Audio Productions is proud to produce and present an audio version of Dr. Kathy Brady's visual story, Daddy's Little Girl. It's a beautiful winter day in Triverton, Rhode Island. Everybody has everything all gussied up for Christmas. In most other places, I'd be forced to say holiday lights to be PC, but this little village has more than its fair share of churches, and most folks are pretty insistent that the word Christmas be used in all its usual and traditional places. By 4 p.m., the darkened sky provides the perfect background for the Christmas lights in the windows of the shops and the homes. If Charles Dickens had been looking for an American backdrop for one of his stories, I think Triverton would have been tops on his list. And had Charles hopped a steamer to come to America to check things out for himself, the folks in Triverton would have been ready to welcome him. The town is that old and that friendly. Our story for tonight takes place in a brightly lit little craftsman house located behind the hardware store and just down a piece from the public library. Don't let the happy lights and Christmas carols fool you, though. Sometimes, hearts can break awfully hard come holiday time. Let's listen in for a bit.
Good. It's you. I was beginning to get worried. How was Dad today, Angela?
He didn't know me, Mom. He had no idea who I was. He thought I was a nursing home worker there to take him for his haircut.
Aw, come here, hon. I'm so sorry that happened to you. Did you introduce yourself?
Introduce myself? To my own father? No, I didn't introduce myself. What was I supposed to say? Frank? I'm gonna call you Dad, okay? 'Cause I'm your daughter. But you have no clue who I am because you have Alzheimer's.
I know it's hard, Angela, but please understand, it doesn't mean that Daddy doesn't love you anymore. He was just looking for a much younger version of you is all. You have to remember you've been on the West Coast for the past 5 years. I've been trying to tell you that things might be very different the next time you saw Daddy.
I know that, and I believed you. I just never thought that he wouldn't know me. I mean, come on, I'm his...
I believe the word you're looking for is favorite.
When I hear it said out loud, I end up sounding like a real jerk.
No child of mine is a jerk, or should even be using a word like that, come to think of it. You're just honest, completely honest. You get that from your dad. People always knew where they stood with Frank.
You always talk about him in the past tense now, Mom?
Of course, not always. But when talking about his personality or his skills, then yes, I guess I do. They call Alzheimer's the long, slow goodbye. I lose bits and pieces of my husband weekly, and oftentimes the man looking out of my husband's eyes is a complete stranger to me.
Mom, I'm so sorry.
But then there's other times where even through his clouded haze, he's still my Frank. You're not the only one he doesn't remember, Angela. I'll never forget the first time he didn't know me.
Mom, I've been gone so long that I get what I deserve. But how could he not know you?
I just wasn't registering with him that day, I guess. I thought I was going to die inside. But instead, I pulled myself up, dusted myself off, and stuck my hand out toward him. I said, "Hi, Frank. I'm Gladys, your wife." And do you know what he did?
No, Mom, what?
He said, "Gladys, that's quite a line of malarkey about you being my missus. But because you're such a looker, I'm gonna let it slide."
I'm sorry, Mom. Here I am belly aching that Dad doesn't know me. I've been his kid for 50 years, sure, so I expected that he would still remember me. But you've been his wife longer than that, and he forgets you.
Hey. Stop that crying, please, hon. Let me explain something to you. It's true, I've been married to your dad for a very, very long time, and it's true that sometimes he doesn't remember me, but other times I walk in, and he lights up like he did on our first date. Even if he doesn't remember me, he still thinks I'm a looker. Not bad for a lady of nearly 80 years, eh?
Well, that sure sounds like the dad I know. Or knew. Is there some kind of handbook that families can consult on how they're supposed to talk?
It sure would be helpful, wouldn't it?
This whole situation seems so impossible. When I was packing to come here, all I could think about were all the things that I've been struggling with back in California. The kids moving out, my divorce from Gary, and losing my job. It's been a fairly nightmarish 6 months.
I thought the divorce was your idea, hon.
Oh, it definitely was. Which really made things a lot worse in one sense. Both the kids feel that I am 100% responsible because I was the one who drew up the papers. And while Gary hasn't gone out of his way to label me as the bad guy, he hasn't been quick to tell the kids that we're both to blame either. And then there was the job and my car breaking down and my cat dying and...
And you just wanted to come and tell your daddy all about it in hopes he could make it better. Right, hon?
He was always able to make everything better. Now he doesn't even know who I am.
Let's reserve judgment on that until you try again. You went late in the afternoon, around 4, right?
Yeah. What does that have to do with anything, Mom?
In the world of Alzheimer's disease, everything. There's something called sundowners. For reasons that no one really understands, people with Alzheimer's get more confused and restless and agitated when the sun goes down.
Really? That's a real thing?
Oh, yes. That first time Daddy didn't know me, I'd gone to the nursing home to join him for supper. One of the nurse's aides was kind enough to explain it to me. Now I go for breakfast or lunch. So, why don't you try again tomorrow?
I don't know. If he doesn't know me again, I don't think I could handle it. I don't think I can handle very much anymore.
We can talk about it in the morning. But right now, I'd like to talk about Christmas. Would you like to come to Christmas Eve service with me tonight? We can decorate the tree afterwards, just like we did when you were little. Mr. Donovan next door was kind enough to wrestle the tree out of the attic for me and help me set it up. I don't know what I would do without that young man and his nice wife to help me with things around here.
I don't think I can handle church right now, Mom. I'm having issues.
We all have issues, hon. That's why we go to church.
No. Church is the issue. God is the issue. How could he let this happen? To my dad, who is... was... Damn this disease. I don't even know how to talk about my own father anymore. And I'm not going to church and sit there and pretend that God hasn't done something so horrible to me. Taken from me something I needed so much.
I wish you would reconsider, Angela. We don't go to church to tell God everything is great. We go to church to thank him for each day and to ask for the strength for tomorrow. I don't believe God gave Daddy Alzheimer's. God is good, and Alzheimer's is evil. Those two things are incompatible in my mind. I'm sorry you feel differently, but I'm not going to force the issue.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's just that I'm a daddy's girl, and I'm sorry if that sounds...
Like you're being honest, like your dad again? I always joke that that's why your Grandma Carson named him Frank. I would have to be a fool not to know who's the apple of your eye, and vice versa, sweetie.
You know I love you like crazy, Mom.
I do.
It's just that on this trip home, I needed Daddy to tell me that he loves me and that everything is going to be okay. He always said it with such conviction that I always believed it to be true. I just wanted to hear it one more time. And I waited too long to come home. So, thanks for the offer, Mom. But I think God's going to have to do without me until further notice. Like I said, I have issues.
There's really nothing more steadfast and true than the patient love of a good mother. And perhaps nothing more evil on earth than Alzheimer's. Why, that disease tries to strip folks of their very essence, who they are, memories of what they'd done in this world, and who they loved. The disease is so dark and evil, just like Gladys said. But it has a shortcoming, you see. It can't destroy the good a person has done in their life. All it can take away is their own recollection of it. So those foundations of love and friendship and goodwill are still there. And as much as Alzheimer's hungers to go after those things, they are untouchable. The love, you see, never dies. Well, we're back again, friends. I'm sorry I didn't get you here sooner. Seems like Christmas service is just wrapping up. It's a shame you missed out. Let me tell you, those Methodists of Triverton don't hold back on Christmas Eve. The lights are bright, and the scent from the real trees on the altar fills the whole church with the smell of the holiday. Jeff Johnson, a church trustee, runs his family's Christmas tree farm, and he is generous to a fault, sharing those firs with not only the church, but the VA hospital in the next town over, and the two nursing homes, and seems I'm doing it again, taking us way off course. Let me just tell you some of what you missed. Miss Baker, the elderly old school teacher, played O Holy Night on the harp. That brought a tear to more than one eye in the crowd. Might be Miss Baker's last year playing for everyone because of her arthritis. Then the pastor's daughter played Silent Night on her guitar, which is just wrapping up now. Let's be real quiet, and I'll open up the door a little so you can hear the end of the service. And again, sorry I didn't get to hear sooner.
Before we usher off into this silent and O Holy Night, let's offer up a prayer for all those who are suffering this Christmas season. Those who haven't asked for a new sweater, or electronics, or jewelry, but those instead who need healing from diseases or broken hearts. For those lost and alone. For those needing miracles and not knowing where to look. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the God of miracles. Please help us help those who hurt. Let us know what to do and what to say. Please don't let anyone feel isolated on this most holy of nights. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Carson.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Please, call me Gladys. Even after 55 years, when I hear Mrs. Carson, I start looking around for my mother-in-law. May she rest in peace.
No problem, Gladys. Say, I've been meaning to ask you, how is Frank doing? We really miss him at Dark Night.
Very kind of you, Jerry. As well as can be expected. Alzheimer's is pretty nasty business, so when I consider how bad it could be, we do have blessings to be thankful for. It's hard being away from each other for the first time in 55 years, and his cognition is a problem too, of course. But we make do. I try to see him every day,
You will let us know if there's anything we can do to help, right? The men's group was talking just the other day that we would like to step up and help with shoveling or home repairs or grocery shopping, because that's the kind of man Frank was, or is.
Don't you go worrying about verb tenses, Jerry. My daughter and I were struggling with that very thing just this evening, and both are correct, if you ask me.
Sorry, Gladys. Guess I'm not following you.
Frank is still with us, and according to the nursing home, still a very kind soul with the other residents. Just horribly confused is all. So there's a vote for the present tense. But he's so weak and frail and lost mentally that Frank wouldn't remember anyone from church or be able to help them, even though I have no doubt that his soul is willing. So the past tense is correct, too.
So sad, really. But I mean what I say. Please let me know if I can help with something.
Well, if you'd like to get started now, I'd let you walk me to my car. I noticed the sidewalk was damp when I was coming in. I'm sure that it's frozen by now. And it's Christmas Eve. No time for a broken hip tonight.
I would be honored. And I'm ashamed I didn't think of it myself.
I'm just grateful for your willing spirit, Jerry. This congregation has been such a blessing to me. I just wish...
What, Gladys? Is there something else I can help you with?
No, Jerry. My escort to the parking lot is all that I needed. I'm just an old woman with a tendency to think out loud.
Phew! I thought I was the only one who did that. Drives my wife and the dog crazy. They both think I'm talking to them until I actually am, and then both of them seem hard of hearing.
Just enjoy them, Jerry. Just enjoy them. Things seem to change so quickly when you get to be my age.
Thanks for the reminder, Gladys. I think I'm headed home to count my blessings. Here, let me help you with that car door.
Thank you again for the escort.
Glad to do it, Gladys. Anytime. And say hi to Frank for me, even though he won't remember.
I certainly will, Jerry. And who knows? Maybe he will. Stranger things have happened with Alzheimer's. Now let's get this heater started. I'm freezing. And I do talk to myself, it would seem. But I'm going to take advantage of this quiet in the car on the way home to talk to someone else. Dear Lord, my little girl is hurting. I know she's almost old enough to have her own AARP membership, but she's still my child, and I don't know what to do. She feels very far apart from both you and her beloved father. Almost everything that matters to her. I'm all she has left right now, and that's a very heavy responsibility. I know Frank's Alzheimer's isn't going to go away. I'm simply asking for a part in the clouds. Some kind of momentary relief, just so Angela can catch her breath and regain her footing. Pastor Miller asked for Christmas miracles tonight for those in need. Please send one to my little girl. I don't even know what to ask for. I just pray you lead me in the right direction to bring her some peace this Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, Gladys, let's be careful, old girl. You don't have one of your husband's friends helping you out of the car like you had one helping you in. Angela, I'm home. Honey, are you up? Well, hello there, Tiger. I'm looking for Angela. Have you seen her? You're going to take me to her? Well, all right, old man. Lead the way. Quiet there, Tiger. Angela is sound asleep under the lights of the Christmas tree. At least she plugged the tree in herself. That's a good sign. Seems she's not completely against Christmas. That's better, Tiger. I'm just going to pull this wayward curl out of her face. It's been a renegade her whole life. Sleep tight, Angel. May you find some peace. Mommy loves you so much. I don't know how I can get the tree decorated by tomorrow, Tiger. That nice young Mr. Donovan had just gotten it set up when he got a fire call and had to run out the door. Then Angela came, and I never called him back to get the decorations out of the attic. These old legs can't make those stairs and carry boxes back down. What to do? What to do? Think. 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 Exactly my idea, Tiger. There's one box of very special ornaments in my office closet. I keep forgetting it's there. I pulled those ornaments out of circulation years and years ago because they were far too old and fragile to endure the heat and freezing temperatures of the attic. I don't even remember exactly what's in there. But I think it's time to find out, old man. Want to help?
Well, sounds like something might be afoot. You know, I never was much of a cat man, strictly dogs myself, until I met Tiger. It was a real hot August day, and I had just finished mowing Gladys's lawn for her. It's one of the odd jobs I like to try to pick up around town. And of course, Gladys, I mean Mrs. Carson, being such a kind soul and all, had me up on the front porch for a glass of her homemade lemonade. Most refreshing stuff I ever had to drink. Reminded me of what my mom used to make, and I've done it again. Anyway, the reason for this unseasonable tale was to tell you how much I enjoyed meeting Tiger. Gladys had a piece of aluminum foil on top of the lemonade pitcher to keep out the flies, and she tore off a little bit, wadded it into a ball about the size of a walnut, and handed it to me. She told me to pitch it onto the floor, and Tiger pounced, picked it up in his mouth, and brought it to me, dropping it at my feet. He sat there with all the enthusiasm of my black lab when we play catch. I had never seen a cat do any such thing. I'm so glad Mrs. Carson has Tiger to keep her company. I know they are good for each other. Christmas morning was always a magical time around the Carson house. Frank would plug in the tree and have a cup of coffee waiting for Gladys as soon as she came downstairs. Despite her promises that this year will be different, Gladys was always up to the wee hours, wrapping presents and taking the time to be sure each gift looked dazzling. Ribbons and bows were placed perfectly on gifts with homemade wrapping paper that she and Angela had toiled over in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Angela was always asked to wait on the stool in the kitchen while her parents got settled into their places. There's no need to feel sorry for Angela. Her perch in the kitchen was right next to the oven, where it was toasty and warm in wait for the cinnamon rolls that would soon be baking. The pans were lined up and ready to go, and on more than one occasion, Angela's finger would stray into the big pink mixing bowl filled with glistening glaze, ready to be drizzled over piping hot rolls. That finger would find its way to her lips just about the time her dad walked into the room to tell her that everything was ready and that she could come into the den. "Now, Princess," her daddy would say in a mock serious tone, "you're not snitching from the cinnamon roll frosting, are you?" And then much more jovially, "'cause I already got in trouble for that this morning, and if I can't have it, I don't think it's fair that you get to." And with that, Frank would laugh his most jovial laugh. The good-natured man's absence is definitely felt this morning, but both Angela and Gladys are putting their best foot forward.
Morning, sleepyhead. You sure have been snoozing.
Hi, Mom. What time is it?
It happens to be 10:15 on Christmas morning. Definitely time to start your day.
Mom, everything looks beautiful. But you shouldn't have had to decorate the tree by yourself. Just because I'm being a stubborn jerk about church doesn't mean I wanted my elderly mother to decorate the tree alone.
First, I'm not ready to call myself elderly. I still have all my teeth. I toilet myself, and according to my husband of 55 years, I'm still a looker. Second, given that I don't think I'm elderly, I don't think Christmas tree decorating is too strenuous. Would I have liked your company? Sure. But I loved watching you sleep so peacefully while I decorated the tree.
Oh.
I don't like the word jerk any more than I liked it yesterday. Where have you picked up this vulgar language?
I don't know, Mom. Must be all that hard living down by the docks.
I would say so, because your father and I didn't raise you to talk like a sailor. So it must be something you picked up on your own.
I'm sure you're right, Mom. Changing the subject away from my vulgarity, am I smelling what I think I am?
If you think you smell Grandma Carson's Christmas cinnamon rolls, you'd be correct. But there's something you must do before you're allowed to dive into them. Remember?
I know. Open up my stocking, right?
Right. Here, let me reach it down from the mantle for you.
Thanks, Mom. Mom, what did you do?
I gave you fruit and nuts like I always did. Don't tell me you're on that silly paleo diet and refuse to eat fruit. I simply don't think that...
Mom, how did you get this envelope with Dad's handwriting on it? He didn't write this, did he?
I don't know anything about an envelope, honey. I told you, I only put fruit and nuts in the stocking.
Then how did this get in here?
Well, we know for certain that your father didn't put it in there yesterday or today. The only explanation I can think of is that he must have put it in there the last time you hung this particular stocking, and you must have missed it when you got your fruit and nuts that year. This stocking came from a box of Christmas items that hasn't been used in decades. Are you going to open the envelope?
I don't know. I mean, of course, but what
if... It can't be anything bad, hon. I can stake my life on the fact that your father would never have put anything upsetting in your stocking. So, are you going to open it?
Yes. Well, here goes. Should I read it out loud?
Yes, hon. Please. That would be lovely.
My dearest princess... I wanted to let you know how unbelievably proud of you I am.
I know what a rough year you've had. Things have happened to you that you never saw coming. Other folks would let these events permanently sideline them. They would be angry or bitter or resentful. They would take the opportunity to feel sorry for themselves or to make excuses. But my girl is a fighter. You get that from your mom. Because I'm not half as brave as either one of you. I couldn't be more proud of the person you've become and how you're handling adversity. Please know that no matter what happens, even if I grow old and feeble and don't remember my own name, that nothing could ever diminish the love I have for you. You are my greatest accomplishment, and I will cherish you forever. Your ever-loving Dad.
Oh my, I'm nearly speechless.
It's like he time traveled, or we time traveled back to him. But how could he have known?
I suspect that letter was written the year you turned 13.
Oh, of course. The year the drunk driver hit our station wagon and broke my left arm and leg. I couldn't go to the dance competition that year. I was heartbroken. Daddy makes it sound like I was so noble and brave.
You were noble and brave, honey. You kept your chin up. Of course, you were devastated. Anyone would be. And we were heartbroken for you. But you worked through your physical therapy and did your exercises without complaint. And as I remember, they were very painful.
They hurt like... heck, Mom. They hurt like heck, okay? I just received a message from my father from beyond the... Well, not the grave, but definitely from beyond the haze. And you're worried about my language?
Always. Daddy and I raised you to be a lady. I don't really expect anything else. And apparently neither did he. Does he? There goes that verb tense problem again.
Pick whichever one you want, Mom. It doesn't matter to me. My daddy wished me a Merry Christmas and told me how proud of me he is, especially because life has gotten really hard. I don't know how it happened, but I thank God that it did.
Do you mean that?
Yes, I guess I do. It doesn't mean I'm not mad at him anymore. God, I mean. I was never mad at Daddy. But I am grateful for this Christmas miracle of sorts.
My mother-in-law was a very wise woman. When my father was dying, he was very sick and suffered a long time. I let it slip in front of her that I was really mad at God. And then I was horrified. What would she think of me?
What happened?
Grandma Carson told me that God had giant shoulders, the biggest in the universe, and that he could understand and handle any anger I had. She said, children and their parents are bound to have disagreements from time to time. You'll work it out. I think that's what you and God are doing right now, honey. You're working it out.
Mom, do you think we could package up the cinnamon rolls and the presents and go see Daddy?
I would love that, hon. You do remember that Daddy wrote that letter 37 years ago, right? As much as I wish that the Daddy who wrote the letter would be waiting for you at the nursing home, it may not turn out that way.
I know, Mom. But he's still my dad, regardless of whether he knows me or not. He should be with his family on Christmas. And a smart lady said that if he doesn't know me, that I should just go ahead and introduce myself. But it may not come down to that. Suddenly, I'm feeling really, really lucky.
Me too, Angela. Me too.
And so they set off into the snow on their Christmas mission with renewed holiday spirit in their hearts. We won't follow them to the nursing home. We've already spied on them enough. We'll let them have their privacy. But in a sense, it doesn't matter what happened at the nursing home, whether Frank was having a good day or not, because as I said, although the Alzheimer's is evil, it can't take away the love. These folks are a family with a connection so strong that it will take much more than a disease to break it down. I might, however, hang around here for a while and see if the ladies would like me to shovel their walk or take any garbage out when they come back, in exchange for one of those cinnamon rolls, of course. My mom made similar ones, but hers had pecans on top instead of walnuts like Gladys uses. Both are delicious, though. I remember one time when both lovely ladies were taking part in the town bake-off. Why, it was quite the sight. Daddy's Little Girl was written by Dr. Kathy Brady. Dr. Brady is chair of the Communication Department at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Daddy's Little Girl was written by Dr. Kathy Brady. Featured in the cast were Kimberly Giannopoulos as the troubled daughter Angela, Elise Krawiak as the kind-hearted Gladys, Pete Lutz as the handsome Jerry, Inuyasha as the furry, well-groomed cat Tiger, Jim Smagata as the well-loved dad, Todd Sparrows as the Methodist church pastor, and our special thanks to Pete Lutz as the narrator. Daddy's Little Girl music was provided by Sandra Bay, Michael Neveriski, Don C. Hammond, Brian Raisin, guitar, and Kevin McLeod, piano. Producer and webmaster, Captain John Tatterzak. Assistant producer, Dr. Kathy Brady. Sound design and mixer, Jim Smagata. Web art by Stephen Sash Scott. All the characters portrayed herein are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual people, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Thank you for listening. This is an original production by Misfits Audio Productions, copyright 2015. All rights reserved.